You don't have to come to Cibolo Creek very long to kind of get the drift that we're not a very traditional church. Anybody pick up on that? Yes, but there are a couple of things that we do in a traditional kind of way, meaning like we do them quite often. And one of those is we start off every year with a series of messages in January that have something to do with us as a church as a whole, rather than simply looking at maybe our lives as Christian individuals or people who are seeking and trying to figure out a relationship with Jesus Christ as individuals. We like to take the first month of the year and talk about our church as a community. And so last week we introduced our new series of messages for the coming year. It's with you and for you, and I hope to be able to tell you a little bit more about what that's all about here as we continue this series today. So a couple of months ago, somebody said to me, I sure would like to get inside of your head sometime. And I thought, yeah, I don't really think you would, because it's not all that interesting. Here's the thing, I'm kind of wired to be a thinker. I tend to get like intrigued with ideas and concepts and situations, and I just sort of mull them over and over and over again and try to figure them out. And about 2 years ago, I got intrigued with a particular word. Now, not necessarily the word in and of itself, but the concept that it represented. And I found myself just really intrigued with what does that word really mean and how does it really work in our life. And the word that I got intrigued with about 2 years ago was the word presence. Presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not T-S, okay? Presence. I just kind of got intrigued with this idea of presence. And here's what I want you to understand. You never enter into a room. You never engage in a circle of people. You never negotiate your way through a situation that involves other people that you don't have some kind of presence. There's something about what you contribute to a situation that is influential in other people's lives, whether you are aware of it or not. Every time you interact with other people, you are making some kind of impression upon them. And so I become really curious about this whole idea of presence, and one, considering what kind of presence do I bring into a situation. But I'd like to ask you to just stop and consider for a few moments is, what kind of presence do you bring into situations? Like, how do people see you? What do they experience in a relationship with you, whether that relationship's very brief and quick or whether that's a relationship that goes for a long time? And what I find is, you know, naturally we all have a bad day now and then. At least I do, maybe you too, okay? And so sometimes we don't necessarily leave the greatest impression with somebody, but I'm talking about presence in terms of like the average. Like over time, as people experience you in different situations and circumstances, what kind of impression are you leaving with them? And I realize that we all leave a different kind of impression. There are some people that when they come into a room or they come into a circle of relationships or when they experience a situation, they tend to be very positive, hopeful, encouraging, and affirming kind of presence. Other people like to have them around. And then there are some people that when they encounter certain situations, they're negative. They're critical. They do a lot of whining and complaining. And that's the impression that they end up creating in the minds of other people. Some people are very gregarious and outgoing and very comfortable and confident in social settings, and that's the impression that they create. And then other people are very shy and quiet and reserved and maybe nervous in larger settings, and so that's the impression that is created. Does this make sense? So I'd kind of like you to consider, what kind of presence do I have? And so it struck me as I continued to think about this topic is that just like you and I, as individuals, we have presence in the various situations and circumstances of our life, it dawned on me that groups of people and organizations as a whole have a certain presence about them. That there's a certain culture that's created in an organization and how other people perceive it. And I just think of some of the organizations in San Antonio that seem to have presence. And I'm not saying positive or negative. I'm just saying they seem to leave an impression. I think of like the company HEB. It has a presence. You think about USAA. It has a presence. When you think about like the San Antonio Spurs, they have a certain presence in our community. Well, Cibolo Creek Community Church would have some sort of presence, some sort of impression that we leave on people, some sort of impression that we've created in our community about who we are and what we're like. Do you remember, those of you who were here last week, I was telling you about, we did a survey. We conducted a survey of about 300 of our volunteers here at Cibolo Creek, and we asked them 11 questions. Questions like, what were we strong at? What were we weak at? What could we do better? And how could we serve you better? How could we serve our community better? We had these 11 questions. We were trying to collect some data about our church. But we did a second survey, and we didn't talk a lot about this one, but we sent a survey out to people who didn't go to our church. And the way that we did it is we sent this survey to a number of members in our church, and we asked them, send this out to 10 of your friends who either don't go to a church anywhere or don't go to Cibolo Creek Community Church. We would like to ask them two questions. This survey had two questions on it. One of the questions was, how could we serve you if our church was mobilized to somehow be of benefit to you or your circle of influence? How could we be of help to you? The second question was this. What do you know about our church? What do you think about our church? What's your impression of our church? It's very interesting, the feedback we got. Would you be interested in knowing what we heard? Essentially, people told us this. I don't know much about your church. Here's what we heard most often is, I know somebody who goes to your church, and we like them. Which was good for us. But it was generally the impression, we don't really know much about your church, which struck me because we're almost 20 years old. We've been around a while now. And still our community, at least those that we surveyed and got results back, they generally said, we don't know much about your church or we know very little. And so that concerned me as a pastor and as a leader, like, what does that say about our sense of presence? And so, in this series, I want to continue to explore this idea of our presence as a church and what it is that we're learning about that, but more importantly, what it is that we need to do better and to do differently if we hope to have the kind of presence that Christ intended the church to have, not just Cibolo Creek, but any community of people who have committed their lives to trying to figure out what it means to be followers of Jesus. Does that make sense? So last week I was telling you that part of my job as a pastor is to get you ready for these really, really important moments of life, like getting married and the birth of children and raising kids and your first fight as a married partner, or maybe that fight that keeps going for 15 years now, critical decisions that you make in your course of your career and retirement, all these kind of significant moments. And one of those moments being when you get invited to be a contestant on the game show Jeopardy. You remember some of this? And so I was concerned that as a pastor, that it was my responsibility to get you prepared in case that you became a contestant on Jeopardy. And one of the categories was big words of the Bible. And I wanted to make sure that all of you were prepared for that very critical moment of life to be able to recognize what it is that Alex Trebek was asking you about. Some of you remember this? So last week we looked at the big word of the Bible. It's the word incarnation. This theological understanding that God came from heaven to earth, took on the form of a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. And we talked about what are the significant ramifications of God coming to earth and what it is that that means to us as Christians and why it's so essential to our faith. And one of the things that we were pointing out is some of the declaration of God coming to earth as a human being is that God wanted you and me to understand this, is that he's with us and he's for us. That by God coming to earth as a human being, he was communicating to us is that he has been where we are. He's walked the same road. He's been in our shoes. He is with us. And he still is. And the secondly, he wanted us to understand is that he's for us. Like he's on our side. He's got our back. He's interested in our good, and particularly in his role as our Savior, who offered to help meet our greatest need, the need to be rescued from the penalty of our sin. And then we took the truth of the incarnation and we understood that the church, the body of Christ as it's often called in Scripture, and I'm not talking stained glass and steeples and pews and pulpits, I'm talking about communities of Christ followers, the church is to be an incarnation of Christ to our world as we embody the love, the grace, the truth, the compassion, the justice of Christ to our friends and our neighbors, then we are an incarnation of the message of Jesus Christ to the world. Do you remember any of this? So today, I want to get you prepared for another big word of the Bible. So last week, the big word of the Bible was incarnation for 800. Today, I want to teach you the word that you're going to need for big words of the Bible for 600. You ready? So again, you're in the lead, so you get to go first. So Alex Trebek is going to ask you, he's going to give you the answer, because you remember with Jeopardy, they give you the answer, you come up with the question. So here's what Alex is going to say. You're going to say big words of the Bible for 600, please. You guys with me? Okay, you're going to thank me for this someday. All right, so here's what Alex says. He says, you ready? You got to listen very closely. The theological premise that Christ commissioned his disciples to serve as his ambassadors throughout the whole world. Let me read it to you one more time. The theological premise that Christ commissioned his disciples to serve as his ambassadors throughout the whole world. And the answer, which is really a question, would be what? You would say, Alex, what is missional? What is missional? How many of you would have got that right? Yeah, see, that reflects on me. So it's a good thing that you came here today so I could, you know, kind of have this input in your life. This is an important concept. Now, let me be really, really clear. You're not going to go into your Bible and look up the word missional and find it in the New Testament. It's not there. I'm talking about a premise, a concept, an understanding that as we put clues together about Christ's instructions to his disciples, what we see is this idea of a missional kind of situation. In other words, Christ commissioned or gave his disciples a mission that they were to go on. Does that make sense? Missional has the idea of moving out, penetrating, infiltrating, about going on an assigned task or duty. That's the sense of missional. And again, it's not a word you'll find in the Bible. It's a concept that we use in the discussion of Christ, his disciples, in the church. Here's the classic passage in the New Testament where we get introduced to this idea, Matthew chapter 28. In this particular context, Christ has spent like the last 3 years developing his disciples, helping them to understand what it meant to be his followers. And then those of you who may be aware of how it all rolled out, then Christ is arrested, he's crucified. 3 days later, he rises from the dead as a declaration of his ability to conquer death and to provide a payment for sin. And then a few hours or within a day or so later after the resurrection, Christ gathers together with his disciples after this very traumatic set of events has unfolded. Here's some words that Christ spoke to his disciples in that situation, Matthew chapter 28. Then Jesus came to them, the disciples, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because all authority now rests in me or is vested in me, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples. This is the instruction. This is the commissioning. Here's what I want you to do moving forward. I want you to go and make disciples, attract other people to becoming followers of Jesus Christ. I want you to make disciples of what? Of all nations. I don't want you to think of just like your hometown or where we are right now. I want you to think about like the entire world understanding what it means to have a relationship with Christ. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And here's some particular instructions. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so there's an assumption made there that they're baptizing them because the people they initially go to do not believe in Jesus Christ, do not have a relationship with Christ. They're not committed to following Christ. This is beginning from scratch, if you would, to bring a person to a place of faith, and then they declare their decision to follow Christ through baptism. And he says, I want you to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always. I'm going to be with you in this to the very end of time. A reference to time on this earth. So, people who study the Bible and teach the Bible and talk about the Bible, this passage right here, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, is often referred to as the Great Commission. It's Christ commissioning his disciples to do what it is that he wanted them to do going forward, and that was to go out into their world and help other people become followers of Jesus Christ. Now, the command in the passage is make disciples. That what disciples were given to do was to have an influence in other people's lives, to invite them to a relationship with Christ, and then be a part of nurturing within them the commitment of following Christ. But to do that, they had to go. They had to move outside of where they were, their circle of influence, and start building relationships and opportunities with people who had yet to hear about Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Now, about 40 days later, Christ reissues the same instructions. He uses slightly different words, but it's the same sentiment of him commissioning his disciples. We read about this in Acts chapter 1. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And here it is. You will be my what? You will be my witnesses. You will be my spokespeople. You will be my ambassadors. And then he says, you'll do this in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is that missional sense that we pick up in the instructions of Christ about moving out into an increasing circle of influence. Now, Jerusalem was where they were at the time. It was home base. Judea is sort of like the regional expression of where they were found. Samaria would have been like the larger framework of the land that they were in. And then to take this message of being a witness to the ends of the earth. And maybe that geography doesn't make much sense to you. It wouldn't to me otherwise, other than to look at a map. And so here's how we might reframe it, is if Christ were giving instructions to us as his disciples today, he would say it this way: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in San Antonio and in Central Texas and in the nation of the United States, and throughout the ends of all the earth. Does that make sense? So he's talking about these concentric circles of influence, and he's instructing the disciples that in order to be my witnesses, you must be given to going, moving. You can't huddle up and keep to yourself. You have to keep moving forward in order to have influence on the people that you're going to invite and attract toward becoming followers of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? That is the essence of what it means to be missional. A group of people who have a sense of mission and then they move out to accomplish it. That is what Christ intended for his followers. So here we are some 20 centuries later. And we sit here, and many of us in this room refer to ourselves as being followers of Jesus Christ. The other word for that is disciple. A disciple is one who lives their lives as a reflection of following Jesus Christ. And so the instructions would be the same. As followers of Jesus Christ, he's saying to us, I want you to move out into your world and be a witness of what I'm all about. Does that make sense? Now, the primary way that disciples were instructed to have influence in the lives of other people was through the influence of love. Over and over and over again, Christ commissioned his disciples to love others. It was going to be the primary way in which disciples would have influence in the areas that they moved to. Here's just one example of this instruction. There's several passages we could look at. I'm just looking at this one. John chapter 13. Jesus says, a new command I give you, new as in the sense of, this is the single most important one. This is the one we're going to rally around of all the laws that you read about or commands that you read about in the Old Testament law. Well, we're just going to sum it all up in this particular one. A new command I give you, and here it is. I want you to love one another. Disciples, I want you to love one another, and I want you to love others. As I have loved you in the ways that I've demonstrated my love to you, I want you to love one another. And here it is. Here's our credibility. Here's our presence or our influence. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. If you do what? If you love one another. Christ is saying that the most profound witness of a Christ follower is his love or her love for others. This is how people are going to know that you're Christians. This is how people are going to know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You may be a disciple of another system of faith, another person, another religious figure, but if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, the distinguishing characteristic of our life as followers of Christ was to be that of loving other people. Well, how exactly do we do that? Because, like, love's a big word. And in some ways, love is a really easy word because I can tell you that I love you. But Christ intended it to be a lot more practical than that. So it's earlier in the same chapter where we read the instructions about loving one another. Christ actually gives his disciples a specific way in which they were to love other people. And that is by serving them. You are to love others, and the way that you're going to demonstrate or show your love to others is you're going to agree to serve them. Do that which servants do. We read about it earlier in John chapter 13. Christ has just enjoyed a meal with his disciples. And then in the course of the meal, he gets up from his place at the table. He washes his disciples' feet, which, you know, probably doesn't make a lot of sense to us. That seems kind of odd and strange. It didn't in the first century. That was a customary practice of a good host, washing the a guest's feet. It was usually a task reserved for the lowest servant in the household. And here's Christ getting up from the head of the table as the rabbi, their teacher, and taking on the role of a servant, the lowest servant in the household, and washing the disciples' feet. And then he says this, when he had finished washing their feet, he returned to his place at the table, the place of the leader, the place of the rabbi. And he asked this question, do you understand what I've done for you? Like, in other words, guys, did you get what I just did? Do you get the lesson here? You see, you call me your teacher. You call me your Lord, and rightfully so because that's what I am. Well, here's the deal. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, have served you in this way, you also should wash one another's feet. You should adopt the attitude and the habits of a servant and do these sorts of things for other people. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if what? If you do them. You will understand the blessing of me, God, in your life when you are busy about serving other people as an expression of your love for them. Does this make sense? So here's the lesson for us. These were instructions given to Christ's original disciples. The original instructions look like this. I want you to go out into your world as my ambassadors. I want you to help other people understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to keep moving. Don't ever get comfortable in one place. Just keep moving larger circles of influence. And in the prospect or in the challenge of creating other disciples and moving out in this kind of missional mindset, what I want you to do is I want you to show other people the love of Christ by serving them. So here we sit today as followers of Jesus Christ, and the instructions are just the same. That it should be a part of our spirit as 21st century disciples of Jesus Christ that we understand that we've been given a task. We've been commissioned to do something on behalf of Christ, who we call our Savior. And the essence of what it is that we've been asked to do, the mission that we've been given, is that we are to love other people. That's how they're going to know that we are, in fact, followers of Jesus Christ, is by the kind of love that we demonstrate to them, and the love is going to be most effectively shared through the act of serving others. Does this make sense? So here's three things that are going to be absolutely essential to us as disciples being effective at the mission that we've been given. First of all, we have to have some proximity. In other words, we have to mix it up with people who may be unlike us, people who believe different than us, people who've never been to church, people who are uninterested in God and Christ. We have to put ourselves in a place where we can have some influence. It'd be safe, it'd be easy to just sort of stay huddled here in our own little church community where everybody essentially believes the same things and feels comfortable with one another, but we won't have any influence to the people that Christ intended us to have influence. Secondly, we're going to have to build relationships. We're going to have to establish some point of connection with people where there's enough familiarity where our love would have some kind of impact. And then thirdly, we have to have a place of credibility that we operate from, or otherwise people won't be interested. And that credibility is our love. To demonstrate our love for other people so effectively that it wins us the opportunity to have an influence in their life as followers of Christ. This makes sense? So, here at Cibolo Creek, we've decided that we're going to give ourselves to one thing in 2016. Now, I say one thing, that doesn't mean we're going to stop everything else. We're just establishing that our priority for the coming year, 2016, is that we're going to work on our presence. We're going to work on our moving out into our community, communities like Fair Oaks Ranch and Bernie and Leon Springs and the surrounding area, that we're going to step outside of comfort zones and we're going to move out into our community in fresh and new ways in order to have an influence in people's lives so that our presence is felt. We're going to do it three ways. First of all, we're going to do it as a congregation. From time to time in 2016, I'm just getting you ready. that I'm going to stand here on the stage, or someone's going to stand on the stage, and we're going to invite our entire church family to roll up our sleeves and be mobilized to do something to serve some people or an organization in some way that meets their need. And I'm going to ask all of us to pitch in and do something to be a part of serving in that way. Secondly, we're going to challenge community groups, those smaller groups of care here at Cibolo Creek, 10, 12, 14 people who meet together regularly, understand yourself to be a community group. We're going to challenge you that your group would recognize some needs in our community, and think about what needs you might be in the best position to meet. And then we're going to challenge you to serve in some expression of our With You and For You initiative. Because some of you, you know some needs in our area that we don't, because of your relationship with one another and the connectedness that you have in places that we don't have any connection. And so we're going to challenge you as community groups to get involved. And if you need some help, we're going to have a few suggestions for you, all right? And then thirdly, we're going to challenge that each one of us, as individual followers of Jesus Christ who've been commissioned to go into our world and have an influence in the lives of other people by serving them with the hope of helping, we're going to invite each one of us, myself included, to consider how can I be an ambassador of Jesus Christ in my circle of influence by helping in some way to meet another person's need. Next slide. So here's our priorities. We're going to serve people in need. As we learn of individuals who could use some help, we're going to find some ways to mobilize members of our church or groups in our church to meet those needs in people's lives. We're also going to focus on organizations that have need, organizations that are out there trying to help people, and those organizations themselves need a little bit of support, need some encouragement, need some hands on deck. We're going to be the church in town that goes and helps those organizations. I'll tell you about some of those organizations here in a few minutes. And then organizations that are mobilized to serve people who are in crisis, those are some of the first organizations that we're going to prioritize as being of support to them. Next slide. So here's some of the organizations that we've identified. The first one, and one that has captured our attention, is the Burney Independent School District, primarily because it represents hundreds and hundreds of families and individuals who we as a church can have influence in their lives. And so we've pinpointed a particular areas. We want to be of service to our faculty, our teachers, and our administrators throughout our school system. They do such an amazing work in the lives of students. We would like to be a church that demonstrates that we're here for them and we're for them. And so we want to learn some ways from the school district about how to be of support to our teachers and administrators. In the process of discovery over the last couple of weeks, we had the opportunity to sit down with the representative of our school nurses, and we learned some things that we'd never understood before about the enormous impact that school nurses have in the lives of students. And we said, you know what, we can be there for them. And there's some unique ways that our school nurses could use some help, and so we want to be the church that's there to help with their needs. Many students throughout the school district who could just use some personal care and attention. They don't come from the kind of home where they're getting the kind of nurture and support and affirmation that they need as individuals and as students. And I thought, our church can do that. There's so many wonderful men and women at Cibolo Creek who could fulfill the role of a mentor to one of our students in our area. And then as we identify either students or groups of students who have particular needs, emotional needs, mental needs, physical needs, then we want to mobilize our church around seeing what we can do to serve and be of help to them. Another group that we're committed to serving is our first responders in the area. These people do such great work in the lives of people, such important work, our police, our fire crews, our EMS. We want to find out ways, and we have a meeting lined up where we're going to sit down with representatives of these different groups and ask them the question, what do you need and how can our church be of help to you? Next slide. And then there's so many wonderful agencies throughout the area that could use our help. This is just a small list of some of the ones that we're identifying, but these are ones that we already have some relationship with. We've partnered with them in the past, and so we're asking these organizations, let us know how we as a church can be of help to you. Hill Country Daily Bread does such a wonderful work in the area. Hill Country Pregnancy Center, the Meadowlands Children's Home, Hill Country Family Services. I don't know if all of you are familiar with Open Trails Ranch. It's a wonderful outreach to people with special needs, and through the use of horses and riding, they're able to provide some care for these individuals. Area nursing homes, certainly you can imagine the needs that might be there. Taking it to the streets, we announced earlier in our program, each month, groups of people going into downtown San Antonio and providing meals for homeless people. What a wonderful opportunity. We have that opportunity every month for some of you to participate in that. And then the Vault, I don't know if you know what the Vault is. The Vault is a foster care agency, or a way of networking families with the foster care agencies in town. And so we're asking them, how can we be of help? Who knows, maybe Cibolo Creek Community Church might become a place where lots of foster children are placed in the homes of people from Cibolo Creek as a way of providing care for them and demonstrating through the act of service our enormous love for them as Christians. Does this make sense? So there's so many opportunities all around us, Fair Oaks, Bernie, Leon Springs, and other surrounding areas. And here's the deal. Our goal, our New Year's resolution is for our church to figure out how we can be better mobilized to leverage the resources that our church families possess to be able to meet the needs of people in our community by loving them through the act of serving. And so I think we have a really, really exciting year ahead of us. And I'm gonna say this as we close. I'm not trying to be melodramatic. I'm not trying to turn the screws. Right? Just listen to me. If you're a follower of Christ and you want to be serious about that, you don't want to just play out on the edges, it's not just a little weekend thing for you. If you're really interested in being a committed follower of Jesus Christ, like following Christ well, I'm going to tell you straight up, the primary way that a person demonstrates their devotion to following Jesus Christ is by doing what he instructs. And at the top of his instructions is that a follower of Christ be given to moving out into his world and serving people in need as an expression of the love of Christ in them. That's always going to be at the top of the list. So if you're interested in being a follower of Christ and you would like some opportunities to understand how you can be involved in serving other people, I'm just going to tell you, this year at Cibolo Creek Community Church, you are going to have more opportunities than you could know what to do with. And so I'm encouraging you, I'm inviting you, roll up your sleeves, get ready, and be a part of what is going to happen in the life of our church in 2016 as we commit ourselves to presence, to being more involved in our community. And in the end, here's what I hope. I hope there's a fireman or two, or a policeman, or a school nurse, or a teacher, or one of the administrators in our school district, or a young mother in crisis because she's pregnant and the dad doesn't want to be a part of that, or a family that just doesn't have the means to really put food on their table. I am hoping that somebody like that in our community, their impression of our church is this. That church, Cibolo Creek, they were with me. And they were for me. I appreciate their presence in my life and what it is that I'm trying to do. That's the ultimate objective, is that more and more people throughout our city would understand Cibolo Creek Community Church is with us and it's for us. Because we showed up and had that kind of presence in their life. Our Father in heaven, it's a risk that sometimes we could look at the things of the Bible as being so old, that was so long ago. And we could understand that your Son, Jesus Christ, gave his disciples some instructions. But God, don't ever let us forget that as the disciples of Christ in the 21st century, we have been given those same instructions. The witness of the Scripture, the echoes down through the quarter of time, and we hear those very same directives from the one that we call our Savior. We too have been commissioned to be missional about the way that we go about our lives and our church. That we should be active and involved in moving out into our circles of influence and throughout our city and our schools and our neighborhoods and our places of work and having influence for your Son Jesus Christ in other people's lives. God, we're asking for your help. We're asking for your direction, your wisdom, so that we might have an absolutely amazing year of doing what it is that you intended the church to do in the first place. And that is to show the love of Christ to others by serving them in any way that we can. We'll look forward to the stories that will be told about how you used our church to bless other people's lives in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray.